I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the Box Set Pod, Season 2, Episode 3. As usual, please.
No.
What?
Four, isn't it?
Is it? Whatever it is. Well, you know already. Why do I say things that you've got written in front of you anyway? If you haven't downloaded the Acast app, download it. It's a really, really nice app to use. I bet Jamie hasn't. Have you got it?
Yes, I Roddy have.
Show me.
Look on my thingy.
Oh, yeah, you have. Well done. Yeah, it's lovely to use as well. Even idiots like Jamie can use it. So, Eve, whether you're an idiot or not, download that app and you will enjoy the Box Set Pod and other podcasts as well. It means you can click on links, see pictures, and it's just a fun app to use. It's just a nicer app than the competition, I think. So, welcome to the Box Set Pod. You know, we've talked recently about endings a fair bit, how to end a TV series. You will also know, if you've heard this Box Set Pod before, that we talk about not spoiling things. We like to not spoil things. Mm. And we've got the four-episode rule. We say you've got to watch four episodes of things. Well, I want to talk about endings just briefly. And whether or not... The other thing we like to do with this pod is not make it spoiler in terms of... Like, if you're listening to this in a few weeks' time, it's not going to ruin anything. Well, we're talking before the last series, the last episodes of Mad Men happen.
I've got some news on that as well.
Oh, and I just wanted to share a moment of how do you think it's going to end? Yeah. So again, we're not going to spoil it if you've never watched any Mad Men. The more I watch it, the more I think that it is just quite simply the best thing that's ever been written for TV.
I watched an episode last night and I was like, oh my God, this is so good.
Mm.
I love that even now, Don Draper baffles me. I still can't second guess him. And I love that because it's not done in like a cheap, gimmicky way.
Yeah.
It's just that the guy is still such quite a complicated character that has so many different layers to him. And
let me tell you why Mad Men's better than Game of Thrones.
Oh, whammy.
I love Game of Thrones, but I don't watch it and my jaw hit the floor other than in the drama. So, like, when I'm watching it, I know that it's going to carry on forever. When I'm watching Mad Men, I'm going, this is the most well-baked, delicious pie, and there's only a finite amount of it. And every second has been pored over and thought about. And then they say these lines, and I don't react like I'm watching sport to anything, even sport. But I do with Mad Men. Like, I literally say, wow, out loud at certain things, certain lines. And what else do you do that with? I mean, Lost in Translation is a film that when we all watched the first time, we just went, oh, this is so good. It's so of its own world and so delicate and brilliant. That's the only thing that I can think of to compare it with in terms of how it goes into a world and is so carefully thought about. But how will it end?
Yeah, and this is the thing, like, and like you say, with Mad Men's one of those very rare shows that can just, it leaves you wanting to stew on it. Yeah. The episode I watched last night, me and my wife, no exaggeration, sat in silence for about 20 seconds, just trying to digest. It sounds really ponzy.
You've run out of things to talk about month into the marriage.
No, it's fine, we were happy, but we just sat there like, and I could, we were both just sort of going over, analysing things. And that's the thing, like, on the internet, if you go to theboxsetpod.com/news, there is, I put up there the latest, an article in The Guardian. It's about, there's a lot of conspiracy theories being thrown around about how Mad Men is going to end. Mm. And The Guardian has picked out some of the best four theories of how Mad Men will end, okay?
Really?
So grab your tinfoil hat, let's hear them. Okay, so first of all, one of the major theories that's very popular going around is it's called the D.B. Cooper theory. Have you heard about this guy called D.B. Cooper?
Yeah.
So D.B. Cooper is a real guy who apparently he was a mysterious real life figure who hijacked a plane for $200,000 back in 1971. It's the equivalent of like hijacking a plane for like £1 million or something like that.
Yeah.
He leapt out of the plane in a parachute over Oregon.
This is a story from Prison Break.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, right. Anyway, and he leapt out of the plane and he was never heard from again. And people are saying that this might be how Don Draper will end. He'll hijack a plane or something, and then this is one of the theories. The theorists are using the fact that Don has links to a French Canada airline, and so did Bert Cooper. Bert Cooper, who died, he fell to earth like in the opening credits. He falls down. Don working at a company called Sterling Cooper. DB sort of sounds like DD, as in Don Draper, his initials. The people are just picking out loads of coincidences that the idea is.
It would be the Draper. Single most dramatic thing that's happened in Mad Men in all of the series. It's a great stands theory. Out as a
yeah. The story of this DB Cooper is amazing. This guy in the 70s I can't see Don. It's a massive jump. Mm. It's a massive tangent character wise to just go, okay, I'll get in a plane and I'll hijack it.
Yeah,
but it's a great one. Another one of the favorite things is Pete Campbell gets eaten by a bear. This is like one of the most popular theories is that. You know how there was I think maybe first or second series, a lawnmower like took a foot off one of the main characters. Remember that lawnmower? No. Saying maybe like a bird's going to come in and chomp through Pete Campbell. But I think it's just because a lot of people don't like Pete Campbell, even though he's actually become one of my favourite characters, even if he's a slime ball. Another one is that Don has syphilis. Now, I actually think this is quite an interesting one. Don's had a lot of women activity. He's been doing it and doing it and doing it again. And obviously with that, especially in the era he was in, the sex disease was rife.
And what was that? And also smoking a lot.
Yeah,
so there could be a terminal could disease. Could be.
Also, syphilis. Excuse Let's me, look at
I'm
the symptoms.
I'm going to blow my nose.
I was going to blow it. Oh. Lovely, Howard.
Lovely.
Jazz nose.
Thank you.
So let's look at the symptoms of syphilis. Depression.
Right.
Yes. Confusion. Confusion.
We're looking at the symptoms of syphilis.
Hallucinations. Don definitely has hallucinations.
Does he?
Yeah. He had that one where he imagined Bert Cooper doing a musical at one point, didn't he?
Yeah.
His quest for redemption in the last few episodes has actually been a bit of a, you know, sort of Jacob's ladder style ending, experiencing, you know, at the point of his death. So maybe he's about to die from syphilis. That's one of the theories. The other theory that is very, very popular is that it's going to be a happy ending. Oh, wouldn't it be great? Don Draper kicks his alcohol, reconciles with Meg. They all live happily ever after.
Can Mad Men be the only TV series that leaves us actually satisfied with an ending?
It would be great.
I mean, I know I was satisfied with the Chuck ending, and we've discussed that before, but it's kind of a fairy tale ending, but with a very dark twist. I feel like Mad Men could do the same thing.
I feel like the thing with Mad Men, I feel like it could give me an ambiguous ending and I'd still go, yeah, I get it. I'm fine with
it. No, I've been waiting in ambiguity world.
But I don't think...
How many series?
We'll look at it this way. Has Mad Men ever been a show about giving you finality, giving you... satisfying you fully... In a reconciliation.
But that's why, when you do the big ending, that's why it could take a swift turn.
Anyway, there's theories.
Another theory is that it's all about the women. It's all about Peggy and Joan.
Well, it definitely is all about the women.
Yeah.
I mean, it's definitely about the women.
And it'll be as much about their...
And Betty.
Their end. Yeah, and Betty's end. As it will at the top.
Oh, I think it will. It's definitely been, for me, Peggy... is a massive like.
Don't you think Peggy and Don have to get together?
I always thought they'd end up getting together, but I don't think they will do.
That's what I think has to happen.
I don't think they will, but there's a lot of theories going around. It's not far off the end now. There's only a few more episodes left, and it's very exciting.
Hijack a plane and parachute.
Yeah, the DB Cooper theory, which I know Matthew Weiner went on the Conan O'Brien show.
Yeah.
And he actually he laughed that theory off the DB Cooper.
Right, well,
so that isn't going to happen. But it's a really interesting storyline. It's really just a story about the DB Cooper guy. He just disappeared. He probably just died, to be honest. But maybe he did escape in a parachute and lived off his money.
This is so exciting though, and can a series that has given me so much pleasure still do that at the end? Because we've discussed it before. The problem, in my theory, is that the problem with endings is that is when the audience realizes that the characters are now dead forever. They're not coming back. Even if they live in the story, your life is over with these characters. They don't exist anymore. And so it's such an impossible thing to do, to give a satisfying ending. Can you think of a satisfying ending that you've ever seen?
Well, I'm not going to lie. I don't eat on the show. It's disgusting sound. I actually liked Breaking Bad ending. I know a lot of people didn't, but I thought it was a very good ending. And I had no qualms with how it ended. It actually satisfied me. I thought it was the ending that was kind of right in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Did you not feel satisfied by Breaking Bad ending?
Without spoiling it.
Well, you don't have to just say yes or no, Howell. Yeah. If you can.
I'm somewhere in between. I think characters like that have to end in a certain way based on morality.
You know what I...
Tales, right?
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
And I thought it would be nice if they didn't have to end like that.
You know what I think?
I'll tell you what it is. I don't think there's anything wrong with TV shows. I don't think there's anything wrong with the Disney ending. With just let all the characters get what they want and sit on a beach with a cocktail.
Well, you know, the thing
what's
is,
wrong with that?
I disagree because
I think
it has to fit the show. It has to fit that feel of why you watch the show.
The show is the show. If that's what the show does, that is what it is.
Because a good example is 6 Feet Under, which I think is one of the best endings to a show ever. And it basically shows you how they all die, doesn't it?
I didn't watch that.
Oh, well, I've not spoiled it because it's more of like a. You got to see it. Right. Anyway, what I'm trying to say is that's one of the satisfying, and it fits the show. It fits the way the show feels without being like gimmicky and or being a sad ending. It's actually quite there's sort of a little bit of happiness about it as well.
Yeah.
You really else in the end of 6 Feet Under?
No, I didn't. I watched like the first series of 6 Feet Under, and then life got in the way.
Damn. Well, you probably won't go back, will you?
Probably not. No. And I think does that mean they all die at once?
Like no. It's
it
like
just shows how their lives end.
It shows them live.
It's almost like lives. Here's what happened to these characters.
It shows you because like every episode always used to start with someone dying.
Yeah, yeah.
And this gives you this sort of like, did they die? And in a way, it is nice, and it's got this lovely music from Sia in the background. Lovely montage.
Nice.
It really is a nice ending. It
because
worked
ultimately,
for the show.
And this is my this is why I've ranted in the past about some Coen Brothers movies. Love Coen Brothers, but there is an undeniable thing, which is that I have bought my ticket. I have paid to go in and sit down, right? I actually don't want you to make my life sadder. No matter what the art is,
all right.
Don't want you to make... Like, when I go to a war memorial or something like... Or went round Auschwitz, for example.
Expect certain reverence.
That's the only time when I fully expect that the reason I'm doing this is to learn something to make sure something's kept alive, all of that.
Let me step on your toes there. But the problem with this, right?
But with entertainment, it should be happening.
True Blood, another example. Alan Ball did that as well. True Blood, but he left the show. It's obvious when he did as well, because it went a bit downhill. But let me make this point about it. They tried to have kind of like a happy ending.
Yeah.
Like, okay, there were some deaths, but there was sort of a happy ending, and it was the naffest ending. One of the naffest endings to a show I loved ever. And it tried to do it. And I'll tell you why, because it's not just about being nice and having a happy ending. It's about it being a good ending. Right. It's about it still being... It's about it still like feeling like you've invested in something and you've got something back, but in a rewarding way. It was rubbish. It was a rubbish ending to the show. Mm. I didn't care anymore about all these characters that I did care about for so long, and suddenly with one swipe, I just stopped caring about them. Admittedly, it was on a decline for a few years.
I think the reason why Mad Men sometimes doesn't grab people like our guinea pig Fife Dangerfield, listen to further back podcast, is that actually it's very like life in that it doesn't give you the big, it doesn't lay lots of seeds and cliffhangers and things. It's you never quite know what's going to happen next.
Yeah.
Like life. And so if they were to end it too simply. You know, like Lost, the big criticism of Lost was that it seemed to just be one tease that lasted for years.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to be really disappointed if it turns out that that's what Mad Men has been doing to me.
What, so they've all been on, like, an island?
No, I mean, I've been waiting for the answer, in a way. I feel like I've been waiting to find out what happens since the very first episode. It's that kind of series. It's like, what's all this about? That's, like, the overall question for Mad Men. What's going on here? Well, and then we're going to get to the end. And I hope, I pray that it doesn't do a Sopranos ending and essentially go, what happened there? Bye.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I have no idea. But you're right. It is with Mad Men. It's different. It's a lot like it plays like life. It plays very real. I read a really good article in Time magazine. They were talking about the fact that the character Betty, Don's wife, ex-wife, in a lot of TV shows, once he divorced her, once they ended their relationship, she would have left the show.
Yeah,
completely, because that's the way TV works. She's not. She's almost superfluous now.
Yeah.
And then there were times in series where she's felt superfluous, but I'm glad she stayed in it. And like real life, these people don't leave your life just because you're in a TV show. And I think that's what Mad Men's always been about, is staying true to a human being, a real human being and their world.
And do you know this takeover, you know, in Mad Men, this takeover that's happened?
The company.
Yeah. That's what, that's the job offer Don turned down in the very first series.
Is it really?
To go and work for them. Yeah. So things are totally coming, but like,
I hadn't realised
the complexity of how it's like mirroring.
It's so good. I hope they do it justice.
So do I.
Want some more news?
Give us some news on another subject.
Okay, let's go to Spielberg. Getting back in the TV zone.
Ooh.
Yes, he's working with TV channel Sci-Fi on adapting The Brave New World, the classic novel Brave New World by Aldous Huxley.
All right. I don't know what it's about.
It's set in the future, Howard. It's a futuristic world where the world is free of war and poverty, but with people forced to conform, someone makes a stand against the system and threatens the entire social order.
Oh.
It's meant to
Hunger
be a
brilliant.
My dad gave me the book on a number of occasions and said, read this bloody book,
you
arse. I meant to read it. I kept trying to read it, but it's one of those books that I've just never got around to, but I really want to read, but it's going to be made into a TV series. So I'll just watch the TV show, Dad, you arse. Spielberg.
Is that what your dad thinks he is? Is he the guy standing up against conformity?
My dad,
How does he do that?
He smokes cigars.
Works for IBM. And he's got a moustache like Tom Selleck.
So it's good to see. He did look a lot like Tom Selleck in his early days. So Spielberg back in TV world with Amblin Television. Also want to mention Red Dwarf. It's cold outside. There's no kind of atmosphere. I'm all alone, more or less. The fish blows. Let me fly far away from here.
Fun
in the sun. If you go on the
I want to lie
shipwrecked and comatose, eating fresh mango juice, cold fish shoals living at my toes. Fun. If you go to the boxsetpod.com/news, you'll see there is an announcement trailer put on there by Red Dwarf creator Doug Naylor. They're making two more series 11 and 12 for TV channel Dave. I actually missed season 10. Season 10 was on Dave.
I watched it.
Did you watch it?
Yeah.
It got amazing figures. Like the best audiences Dave's ever had. But what was the show like? Let's go to Howell.
I can't remember.
Okay, thanks, Howell.
I mean, it was very glossy. It was very, you know, it wasn't as glossy. Because they brought it back once. As the series got older, they kind of moved with the times. You could hear the execs going, oh, it's going to be like this. And then there was a canned laughter problem at one point, or it felt it was canned laughter.
Arguably,
season 10, I'm pretty sure.
It was on
didn't
Dave.
Didn't have a live studio audience.
Okay.
Someone's going to correct me now.
You might be right,
wrong.
Though, because didn't they stop doing studio audiences around season 6 anyway?
Yeah.
Or something like that.
I feel like maybe they didn't have a studio audience. It was good. It wasn't back to that beginning. It didn't have the B-movie feel of the low-budget B-movie feel of the first
The first, like, maybe 1 to 4, series 4 was peaked for me, where it was brilliant.
And maybe this is rose-tinted spectacles, when you watch, even when you watch them back now, there's an element of, and I wish people would do this more, right? We've mentioned this before, but sometimes we watch TV to escape into a world, and that world, in the case of Red Dwarf, is what would it be like to be the last survivor on a ship, right?
Yes.
Which is great.
It's a great concept.
And sometimes, because of the need to create lots and lots of plot, you move on from... You don't dwell in that concept as much as you'd quite
because
like.
Because what was the first few series about? It was literally about a guy who loved curry, stuck on a spaceship.
Yeah, I mean, they had different plots.
Evolved cat and a hologram.
Yeah. Whereas it becomes a bit too sci-fi, a bit too complex. And,
yes.
And I'd say the same, Suits, which I'm still going through, Suits, on to season four now, very excited. Suits is another one of those things where they move the plot on so quickly, they don't allow me just to enjoy the court cases. It's all about the characters and the drama stuff. And then Chuck is the only one that has... you know, 28 episodes a series of someone acting as a CIA agent who also works in a technology store, in a Currys or a Bymore. And that's, I think, why Chuck becomes so addictive to people, is that it really is about allowing those bored characters in the store, for example, to be creative and funny. Like, it's a situation comedy.
Yeah, yeah.
And the situation needs to breathe. And I'm not sure if it does on Red Dwarf beyond the first three.
It's a tough line as well, though, because I've been trying to finish House, right? I got four seasons in, stopped, and I've tried to start up again because it's on Netflix. And I still find it, like, because it's just a new plot every week, and it's very... And, yeah, you are the same characters, the same formula every week kind of flows. I can't find it hard to get through, whereas I've just finished watching Bloodline. Bloody hell. From like episode 5 or 6 on, you have to get through. It's a very slow start. It's brilliant. Like, it's some of the most tense TV I've seen.
I want to watch it.
It's amazing. Some of the acting, I cannot, honestly, my wife quit on it, but a lot of people will quit on it, I think, early on. But if you stick with it, bloody hell, it's an amazing
episode.
Well,
I need to get on that. I've not watched an episode of that. I've not watched an episode of The Good Wife.
Yes, The Good Wife, sir.
Everybody tells me.
Exactly, yeah. Anyway, back to Red Dwarf.
Oh, no, one more point.
Yeah.
Why House is worse in that case than Chuck or Quantum Leap, for example?
Yeah.
Is that... Your phone's ringing,
who's
that?
I don't know the number. I don't trust
0333.
What area code is 0333?
I've got a feeling that might be like a London thing. Ignore it.
What if it's a new job?
It's definitely not.
Okay, I'll just leave it. Probably,
I mean, get it.
Probably PPI.
Go on, answer it. Okay. Answer it. Put it on speakerphone. You've just hung up, you douchebag. We went okay and then hung up. Good God.
Back to House, Al. Back to House.
Oh,
back to House.
I just worry about you.
Back to House.
So House.
I'm struggling to finish it.
Okay, so with, for example, with Chuck, you know that there's probably going to be a happy ending.
Mm.
But even those endings vary slightly. With Suits, it's the same. With House, you learn the beats.
Yes.
You learn that it's not just that you know how it'll end. You know what will happen 10 minutes in.
Yeah.
They will go and search the house and try and find where they live to try and find the cause.
Yeah. You know, also 10 minutes from the end, that'll be the final revelation.
Revelation and then song to end.
Yeah. And also he'll have a revelation based on something mundane that's happening.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
He might have a plumber around at his house and he struggled with the case, and suddenly the plumber will scratch his balls and he'll go, oh, of course, his balls.
If you are watching Suits, there is what I call the epiphany moment, and there is a lot of that as well. So they'll be having a chat, you know, they're stuck with this case, and then someone will say an inane line,
yeah, like, do you like egg mayo?
And they go, egg mayo, you've got it, and then they run off and they figured it out.
Yeah.
But aside from that, Suits is pure addiction. It's great.
Okay, so back to Red Dwarf. Yeah. Of course, I do want to mention that they're doing two series back-to-back, series 11 and 12, and Craig Charles, quit Coronation Street. He's going hardcore this time. He's come out of the
Coronation Street box. Serial drama in the UK.
Oh, come on. If you don't know that, I want to mention...
You live in America.
They've heard of Corrie.
We've got people listening in Thailand, Australia, Texas.
They've heard of Corrie over there. Believe me.
No, they haven't.
They bloody have.
They haven't heard
of it. If you've not heard of Coronation Street, you bloody heard of it.
You bloody have.
You bloody have. Kidman, Witherspoon, HBO. Yes, HBO have got a new drama. They won a bidding war with Netflix for this latest drama. It's called Big Little Lies, and it's going to star Nicole Kidman and Reese Witherspinster, as Bruno would call her. And it's directed by the guy who did Ally McBeal, David E. Kelly, and it's going to be the story of three mothers whose lives unravel. It's meant to be very good, so 1-0 to HBO over Netflix. Those are the big two. They're going head-to-head in a lot of things these days, but HBO usually win the big... you know, the big A-list drama shows, because of course they've got True Detective with McConaughey and Woody Harrelson, and this is the next big one. Kidman and Witherspoon, two Oscar winners, are joining a HBO drama, and so that should be out next year. It's called Big Little Lies. That's your news. If you want to have a look at any of it and any of the updates, theboxsetpod.com/news is where it all is.
Please welcome now to the Box Set Pod, his name is Adam Comstiff. No time to explain his name, but he works at the National Football Museum in Manchester and is a friend of ours. You know, we like to get our friends on the Box Set Pod, but he is also someone who I believe has been abusing me on Twitter, saying that he would like to come on the Box Set Pod because he regularly shouts at it. What's the quote? Almost everything that Howell says.
That sounds about reasonable. Almost everything you say infuriates me.
Right, well, let's, to various degrees. Let's see how that goes, shall we?
I want to hear more from this man.
Okay. I like the fact that it's apparently I've been abusing you on Twitter, because you can't even be bothered to check your own tweets.
Oh, no.
That's shoddy.
Yeah, well, no, I don't spend time on trolls. I don't think it's good for the psyche. I just tweet myself saying how great I am. So, Adam, welcome to the Box Set Pod.
Thanks for having us.
Adam is our equivalent of a celebrity guest this week. Gosh, week, isn't it?
How is that booking job going, Jamie? How are you doing with that?
Yeah, you know, it's ups and downs.
It could turn out to be a masterstroke. You never know.
We've got a Disney producer on next week, I think, so that'll be interesting. In the meantime, I'll have to put up with Adam. So, Adam, what have you taken issue with? What are you on to discuss?
Oh, right. Well, normally someone tells you when you're on these sorts of things what you're on to discuss, don't they?
Not free rein.
The reason I wanted Adam on here, yes, Jamie, is because Adam is one of the biggest lovers of one of my favourite TV shows. It's called Louis, and I want Adam to sell Louis to you and other box set lovers, because it's superb.
So Louis's a little bit more difficult to find in the UK than the US, I think. What channel is it on here?
It's on FX, I think. Okay. So when you say difficult to find, it's on a pretty much free-to-air channel on a weekly basis.
It's
probably available on demand.
500 channels with Kim Kardashian's wedding and things. It is, of course, Louis C.K., New York comedian. I like his stuff. I've seen his live stuff on Netflix. I think he's very good. I just find him ever so slightly... New York comics have quite a negative... vibe to them, and I wonder whether his show about him has the same sort of cynicism. I get the feeling it would be quite a dark thing. Is it?
No, that's probably not how it comes across. I know what you mean from his stand up. His stand up is quite sort of biting and satirical, and kind of quite aggressive. Probably isn't the right word, but I know what you mean. Yeah. The show itself has. I think it has quite a bit of heart. It's a strange one to describe. I read an article not long ago describing it as instead of being sorry, you can hear that's my little boy. I'm at home. I'm parenting.
Isn't it wonderful?
This is what I do when I parent.
This podcast will live forever, and in 10 years you'll be able to play him this. You know.
Yeah, he's probably going to say anything, either about as insightful as either of you two, or I am going to be on this subject. I'm sure. I read an article describing it as a sitcom about everything, rather than a sort of sitcom about nothing, which is what it can come across. It was a very Guardian article, to be honest. I read the first few paragraphs and I had to. I ended up sort of just skim reading it. It got very worthy and very self indulgent, as you know, a lot of articles written probably by media studies students do. But
cynical. I can see why he likes Louis C.K.
I'm one of them. I know. I'm totally one of them. I just don't get to do it as a living. So
And what did this article say?
The idea of it. Sorry, I am fighting a washing line from a toddler as we speak. the sort of gist of it was that it can seem like almost a, it's not even a sitcom. The you know, the situation seems to be very sort of fluid and very changing. The focus of it is obviously Louis himself. It's kind of like a it's like a dude com, and it's sort of. Sorry, I am totally distracted by a child trying to attack itself.
Can one of you tell me?
Iron pole.
Can one of you like tell me what happens in, say, the first episode?
Maybe that's what you need. Maybe an example of an episode would be good.
It's almost too well. I mean, we're five series in now, so I can't really remember exactly what happened in the first episode. And it almost doesn't matter. The situation is Louis C.K. as a stand-up comedian, a divorced stand-up comedian with two kids, which is the situation in real life.
Yeah,
and from that...
Living in New York City.
Yeah, and there's a different... And those episodes that come off that can be really different. Like, one episode, like, that I watched recently, I think you did as well, Adam, he basically needs to go to the toilet because he needs a poo, and he's stuck on he's stuck on the subway, and he's running along with his kids, trying to find a shop that's going to let him have a poo in the toilet.
Yeah, yeah.
And until the point where he can't find anywhere that will let him have a poo, and he just does the poo in his pants.
Oh.
Yeah. It can deal, and that's not really played for laughs. That is a tragic moment. Grown man soiling himself, begging his children not to watch and see this tragic moment is played completely straight. And sometimes, I guess there are moments where it's almost reversed, almost sort of funny situations are played straight, and sometimes quite serious situations, like visiting an elderly relative who dies in front of them, is played hilariously. And it's all sort of down to the great performances throughout it, and a real sort of singular vision of how he wants this world to be created. You know, there are the points where it will go into flashback for three episodes at a time. You know, showing the first time he bought weed as a 14-year-old. Mm. And there'll be, you know, it's not moments of surrealism, but there's moments where he makes you just sort of think, actually, the only reliable and real thing, the real and consistent characters in this show are him and his kids.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the heart of it, because there are points where you see... like, his ex-wife appears in a lot of the episodes, and she's played by a black actress. And there's flashbacks where it shows him meeting her, and she's white.
Yeah.
There are things like that where it just completely says it doesn't really matter about any of these characters other than me and my kids, which is great. Yeah. And to a degree, the stuff that's done in their stand-up clubs as well. The other comedians are sort of pretty... It's a very competitive sort of little circuit that he creates a picture of, but they always seem pretty solid as well.
I know I'm pretty late to this.
The wider world sort of seems like it's just entirely made of shifting kind of characters who you can't entirely trust.
Well, you have
will not help you when you need a poo.
You've sold it. Yeah. You have sold it to me because I think, like I said at the beginning, you know, and I know that I'm late to this. I know that us saying, "Hey, everyone, there's this TV series called Louis." I know everybody knows that Louis exists and that it's good, but I didn't come to it because I think there is a Bill, what's his name? Stand up that died.
Hicks.
There's a Bill Hicks influence on him, which in his stand up, which is a little bit like, how dare you bloody come and watch me? I don't want you here. I don't like you, audience. There's an element of that, which is probably the thing that made me not. Whilst I've watched all his stand-up and I like it, it doesn't make me want to watch him in a sitcom.
It
sounds different
to Marc Maron, that kind of thing. But both Marc Maron and Louis C.K. are of an age now where it feels like they've had that and they've probably got through the worst excesses of their angry at the world, cynical, hard-bitten comic. And now, I think in both their shows, there's a bit of heart. There's kind of experience and cynicism, but also kind of they look for the positives a little bit more. It's not that...
It's not the angry young man.
Sixth form angry young man kind of stuff that can feel a bit out of touch now because it was done so well by Bill Hicks, but no one has ever been able to do it.
And it seems to match people like you and your life. It seems to match you because you're a cynical old turd, and now you've had a child, which makes you instantly warmer. So it sounds like the perfect thing for you.
It means we cling desperately to any little pieces of humanity, little things that make you feel alive when you're sleep deprived and exhausted.
Okay, I'll watch it.
I was a little bit late to Louis as well. I was going to say I think the problem is it's his name.
Yeah.
Louis C.K. is not... it was about a year and a half ago I spotted lots of people who I knew on Twitter all going absolutely batshit because this guy called Louis C.K. was doing live appearances in the UK and Europe. He never did it. And I kind of spotted the swing of everyone I knew in London going, oh, Louis C.K. tonight! And then people I knew in Oslo going, Louis C.K. tonight! And I sent a tweet saying, who on earth is Louis C.K.? I imagined it was some kind of hipster musician or something like that. And our mutual friend Ben replied to me going, what? I sent you his live special a year ago for Christmas. No, you didn't. I've never had that. It's like, you must love him because I love him, and I sent you this as a gift. I thought it was pretty rude, but you never got back to me. And I went back into my inbox and found an unopened email from a year ago with the header, a gift from Louis C.K. So I clearly just thought that it was some kind of knockoff perfume merchant or something like that, and had ignored probably the best stand-up I've seen in the last 10 years, which just sat in my inbox as a gift.
You know what's annoying? You know what's annoying is? I remember a Ricky Gervais video when he did a video blog years ago, and it was with Louis C.K. and he said, this guy is the funniest guy on the planet and you've never heard of him. And that was years before he got massive, and unfortunately Ricky Gervais has ever ended up being right as well.
So are you watching Mad Men, Adam?
We are not currently. We're saving... I'm a binger. I can't accept one episode at a time now. That is all storing up. We checked last night, almost went for it last night, two or three episodes to show here, so we're gonna absolutely binge those final eight episodes.
Well, I can ask you the same question anyway, because whether you've watched Mad Men or not, you can ask the question on the first episode. How do you think it's going to end?
With him throwing himself off a building, of course.
You really do.
That is the common belief, isn't it?
I mean, that's what we've all got to pray for, really, haven't we?
No, he's just they're just teasing us. They're just teasing us. No, Mad Men do the unexpected. Maybe that's the final turn, though, is that they'll do the expected at the last minute.
Maybe, but the thing I found, like, and you might find this when you start watching the final episodes, Adam, is that I completely forgot some of the plots because it's been a year. I do find it difficult. Like, you almost have to rewatch a lot of the old ones beforehand because you forget a lot of it, and some of it does matter that you remember it, and you're kind of like sitting in an episode going, why was he doing that again? Why was that happening?
It's one of those shows where actually, you know, I think all of us get really annoyed when there's a recap at the start of a show because we're used to binging it, but every now and again you need that kind of, oh yeah, they're going to bring in something from 2.5 series ago.
Every now and then
you need
to think
like 3 seconds of just before the thing.
I used to love West Wing recaps because they would always show, if they showed a scene that was like completely random from nowhere, okay, something's going to happen with this guy.
That is exactly the same in Prison Break and in Suits that I'm watching at the moment. It's
but those seem to be rubbish shows. We're talking about good shows. Whoa. I haven't watched either, and I'm not going to because the only person recommended them is you. So. That sounds rubbish. Oh my goodness.
Joseph, when you're listening to this podcast in 10 years' time, that is your father.
And he's got a little brother called Chuck.
And it's.
Let's
try it out. Let us recommend something for you. Why don't you tell us what kind of thing you like, what sort of thing you're in the mood for next, and we'll try and recommend something. Maybe you can give the first 4 episodes a go and tell us whether it worked for you or not.
Okay. I'm just trying to think what we've been doing recently.
Chuck! Watch Chuck!
did you want to enter into any conversation about it? Or,
sorry, yeah, carry on. What were you saying?
When does the paycheck from Chuck, from whoever the heck makes Chuck,
bloody should,
come through
it?
For you?
Yeah. I know, how
bloody
is.
Should.
Go on.
Yeah. Where are you up to? What are your fancy?
Where are we up to? What are we doing? God, well, we just actually just went back to Homeland finally because we do that, got to save everything up and watch it in one. We'd only just gone back to the last season of Homeland, which actually got better again.
Wow, criticising me for watching popular television.
What can I say? It got better season 4. Series 3 was absolutely ridiculous.
I totally agree.
There was a bit of...
Season 3 was the Iraq one, wasn't it?
The newest one is the Iraq. Well, not Iraq, it's Afghanistan.
I'm talking about Iraq or Iran. The one where we lose a key character.
Oh, right.
The one where there was season 1, great. Season 2, milking it a bit. Season 3, there's no logical way that this person should still be around in this series at all. Season 4, finally remembering that there were loads of other characters they created that they could do interesting stuff with.
Yeah.
Let me tell you,
Season 4 is great.
Let me tell you, as fact, Adam, why Chuck is better than Homeland.
Oh, no. Okay?
Because
do we have to?
I like to either.
It's not on my spaceship. I'm just putting that out there.
I either like to watch a wolf or I like to watch a sheep. But when there's a wolf in sheep's clothing, it bothers me. And Homeland, good as it is, well acted as it is, well written as it is, it's full of the interbreak teases. It's full of the resets. It bores me, and I know that it's not going to give me something by the end. It's just going to be another cliffhanger, and Chuck gives me, it's Quantum Leap world. It gives me, it's Dexter world. It gives me what I sort of expect, but has also pleased me and made my life better.
How many series of Chuck are there?
There are 5 or 6 series.
Because there were
a lot of episodes.
Were there 7 series of Dexter in the end?
Yeah.
That got rubbish for at least 3 of them, didn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
I would disagree with that.
Absolutely.
I think the only way that series felt rubbish is if you credited it with far too much brains at the beginning. Like,
No, it was never meant to be smart, was it? No. It was always... I think that was the series that we went to almost immediately in our post-The Wire world.
Yeah,
and
really.
It, almost because you couldn't begin to compare it to that. It was sort of mindless sort of comic escapism with, you know, sharp scripts and pretty people and nice sets.
That sounds like Chuck to me.
Which is great for maybe 2 series. And then it got, oh, God, it got difficult.
Disagree.
Yeah.
The one with John, what's his name? John... John
Lithgow,
that's a great series.
Oh, right, yeah, no, that is a very good series. Yeah.
But that was followed by the one with Colin Hanks, wasn't it?
Which was brilliant.
Which was poo.
Great. and where do we move on to next?
The Wire. Speaking of Colin Hanks, have you watched the new Fargo?
Oh, is it?
Yes, that was good, wasn't it?
That was very good.
The new one?
Really not the late, the newest of the new, isn't it?
Right.
I tell you what's just started on Sky Atlantic, and you should both watch this if you get a chance. It's called The Affair, and it's got Dominic West from The Wire in, who plays McNulty. And it's great because it's about an affair, but it shows the different... It shows one person's perspective of how the affair happens, the man's, and then it shows the woman's. And in one episode, you see how differently they see things, and it's really, really good. It's just started on Sky Atlantic. Okay. The first episode was like a couple of nights ago. That's a really good one.
Is it encouraging you to have an affair?
It does make you think. It's not a bad... It does not recommend it at all, because there's a murder that happens in it.
Also, I am rewatching The Wire. I say rewatching. I never actually finished season 5, right? I never finished it.
So where did you get up to and why did you stop?
Because I met Sarah and she hadn't, I met somebody new. And then you can't like go, join me on season 5 of this thing. So we said we'll go back to the beginning and watch it. But at the same time, we went to visit my mum and dad and they'd never seen it. So we had this thing, how we thought this was a good idea. We thought we'd watch it with my mum and dad. every week. So we watched about 3 with them and then realised this is going to take a lot of driving and a lot of investment, especially as my mum and dad needed the subtitles on it. But they watched the whole thing before we did and now we're finally watching it. And watching it now compared to watching it when it first came out is really interesting because you realise that nobody is going to make something like this again. No. It's like watching a sociology lesson. You know that it's a lesson about Baltimore, and therefore there ain't going to be a happy ending, right? It's not like they're going to wrap it all up and everyone's going to win and walk away. But also, an hour of The Wire feels like 2 hours. When you consider something like Dexter or Chuck that we were just talking about is 45-50 minutes.
Yeah, you have to watch it in a different mindset.
It's so slow and it's so meaty, and that is great. It finished the other night and Sarah like went, it's good, but it's bloody miserable, isn't it?
Yeah, but you know what? The finale of The Wire, I actually think it's quite a good ending. Like, I think it works for the show.
Yeah,
good.
Yeah.
good.
Yeah. And you didn't come away miserable from it, that's for sure.
Well, you do the rest of the five series, because it's certainly not a positive view of the world, is it?
No, I think the sort of, I think each series kind of ends with a whatever happens to individuals, the system is in place that's going to keep recreating these sorts of situations and these
problems.
Sorts of characters.
Yeah.
And that's not necessarily a miserable view of the world, but it's certainly not cheery and optimistic, but it's such a richly drawn sort of world, isn't it? That it's like...
It's so rich.
It's not I'm going to watch TV for an evening, it's I'm going to go to Baltimore for the evening.
Exactly, yes, yeah.
Just keep my head down.
Now, something else...
I'm not the one who gets shot in this episode.
On a slightly different tack, but that I noticed when I was watching The Wire, they have this. They had this thing in one of the episodes where they showed camcorder footage, right? So they cut... I can't remember what it was like a riot or something, but they cut to... the same shot, but through a camcorder. Now, people don't do this much, but you—it's just a general point on the use of that in films and TV. You realise how poor acting is, like how much cinematography and sound
makes it look good.
And lighting make people look good.
Yeah.
But, and then you realise, oh, you know, when we made our own films as students or whatever, that's why it looks so crap. Because
these
professional actors look like really bad actors just for 5 seconds.
Yeah.
And how important that, you know, it'd be good to get a cinematographer on the box set pod. Actually.
Leave it with me.
Jamie.
I'll be arranging that later then.
How do you know, Anik?
Yeah, I'll have a look. So, yeah, that's interesting as well. We haven't recommended Adam anything. Give us three words.
No, I recommend The Affair. You should watch The Affair.
Okay.
But I don't think it's popcorn enough. I think Adam is a sheep in wolf's clothing. I think Adam wants
popcorn. I'll tell you what,
I've got
a popcorn one for you.
I don't mind a bit of... I'll tell you what, to give you a bit of a thing, because we never talk about TV, because we never see each other.
That's correct.
I just listen to your podcast occasionally.
Yeah. That's how we like to keep friends.
We've established that I love The Wire.
Yeah.
I love, and I've not heard you mention this much, and I was thinking, actually, it's the only show in which I have... cared as much for a character as much as I care for Omar.
Oh,
saying a lot.
Ooh.
Deadwood.
I absolutely love Deadwood.
Okay,
yes.
I haven't watched it.
Oh,
again.
That was only 3 series and they got cancelled.
Yeah, and I think kind of almost that's the strength.
Yeah,
it
maybe.
It never got neatly wound up, and it never had to, and they never had to try because it's. I think it was a writer's strike that did for it in the end, wasn't it? Something to do with timing meant that they just never got round to being able to do a fourth and then everyone moved on.
Yeah.
But that was just brilliant. Yeah, that would be my recommendation for Hal.
Deadwood.
Right.
Hal, I can give you that. I've got it on actual box set.
That's a proper binge-worthy one, I think, as well. I think
lovely.
You go to this place and you're...
There's some
you're
of,
stuck there forever.
So, okay, Adam, you've got two faders in front of you, like this desk that I'm on now. One fader is artistic, and one fader is popcorn. One fader is popcorn. Tell me how high, 1 to 10, you want your next thing to be on both of those things.
Okay, I want...
10 of artistic being The Wire, okay?
Okay, I suppose within TV standards, I thought we were going to, you know, have 10 being some flipping Lars von Trier type thing.
We're aware you have a family, you've got a busy life, you're going to sit down in the evening, and you're not going to want to look at an arts documentary.
Okay. I'm going to go. I'm going to push my arts up to 8.
Oh, right. Okay, and your popcorn.
It's going to be 3.
How difficult do you want it to be? 3. Oh, right.
Yeah,
so, okay.
I don't mind getting involved. You know, we watched The Newsroom when we had a 6-week-old and managed to follow some of it. So, you know.
Have you watched The Returned, Le Rêve?
Yes, Le Rêve or whatever
okay.
it is.
Well,
yeah,
I would put
that
in that combo.
Yeah. Yeah, a little bit like that. I mean, that was very much the thing that reminded me of that a little bit recently that we watched was Fortitude.
Yes.
I would say Le Rêve was better. Fortitude really was great at creating this sense of place and atmosphere and community, and it was very good looking. But it was 4 episodes of nothing happening, Then three episodes of, oh, it's quite interesting, actually, what's happened. And then, like, two episodes of, oh, how do we finish this? Let's do something stupid.
And the problem was you stopped giving, like, a crap about any of the characters at some point as well. The guy I liked was the cop, and I won't say what happened. But anyway, I've got a recommendation for you. It's a bit more popcorn, though, than arty. Okay. It's Blacklist. Have you heard of Blacklist?
No, I do not know Blacklist.
It's got James Spader, who's like got the greatest voice in the world.
He's the sex man, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's always in things where there's sex.
Yeah, yeah.
Is there sex in this?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, basically. There's not sex in this. Okay. It's about a guy who's like, he's a criminal. He goes to the FBI and says, I can help you find all these people who are on my blacklist. They're all criminals. But in doing so, you're going to have to give me some sort of... It's a very popcorny thing, but it's actually really quite addictive as well and quite fun. And James Spader's brilliant as like this criminal, but kind of a good guy in some ways. So I recommend that. Blacklist. It's only about two seasons in, though.
And you're right, Howie. He does always sort of seem... He just has one of those faces which suggests whatever character he's played is going to be leering at ladies' bottoms.
Yeah. Well, he plays the character in the American version of The Office, where he basically... He's a swinger,
really?
You know?
Right. So he's really carved out a niche for himself, and it's a niche that I think is probably quite a lot of fun.
If you want to be that guy, I mean, that's a career for you. You need a character who likes ladies' bottoms? That's me.
If you've got a recommendation for Adam, who likes ladies' bottoms, let us know. studio@theboxsetpod.com.
Whatever you would recommend to James Spader, recommend to me. Yeah.
As you know, I'm a big fan of the story, at least, of Walt Disney. And next week, we're going to have a Disney producer on. And they've got a new film called Tomorrowland. And that is linking in with the area of Disneyland that he created called Tomorrowland, which is quite funny because it's like Tomorrowland still now is the same Tomorrowland that was in the 60s. So, like, we're still looking at the future, which involves spaceships and underwater submarines and things. Can you get any other type of submarine? I don't know. But, Adam, thank you very much for joining us.
Yes.
It's been a pleasure.
Good. And, Joseph, that's your dad. And you've learnt 10 years on now by listening to this that your dad can be wrong and it's still all right to love him.
Joseph, at the moment, has his own Netflix profile and he's just hitting season 3 of Bob the Builder.
Does he do SpongeBob?
Posterity. No, he's not done SpongeBob yet. I think he's waiting for a current series to finish so we can binge it.
Do you know what, Adam? Do you watch SpongeBob?
I don't know. I'm 33 years old. Can
I seriously suggest that if you turn that face... I mean, honestly, watch some SpongeBob. It's one of the most well-performed, like, surreal...
It's like a milder version of Ren and Stimpy.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That got boring when we were 13, though, didn't it?
Oh, come on!
This is better. This is honestly better. It's satirical of the adult world and is one of those rare kids things which genuinely you think... Wow, this is for everyone.
Yeah, in fact, that's our recommendation for you.
You said that about Harry Potter, didn't you, though?
No, I didn't. although the last two films of Harry Potter really are excellent.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to legitimately watching proper children's television with bum gags in them.
Yeah, oh, well, that's your SpongeBob. That's your SpongeBob. Yeah. Right, let us know how you get on with SpongeBob. Thank you, Adam.
Thank you.
See you next week.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.